Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio. You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Anahuacis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. This station's only means of support is through donations and purchases of the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library, which includes lifetime online access to a printable 1,000-page intelligence briefing and a worldwide indigenous prophecy encyclopedia. Now, folks, there's nothing else like this collection on the planet. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files and 222 folders. It includes the Prophecy Keeper's Prepper's Self-Reliance files and all of our previous over 100 Prophecy Keepers interviews. So head on over to prophecykeepers.com right now and have a free sneak peek today of two-thirds of the Prophecy Keepers trilogy and a peek of the dashboard of the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault. Osio Ginalii Tahiju Toigu, which means, hello cousins, I'm fine, how are you? This is your old buddy Bluewater coming to you from the Cumberland Plateau in east central Tennessee, the ancient home of the Aniuntikwalaski, the people of the lightning and thunder, or the military protectors of the old Cherokee Nation.
Hello, everybody. This is your old buddy Bluewater coming to you from Booker County, the mysterious Ozarks in mid-America. And this is our interview for Christmas Day. And jolly old Santa Jose is in the person of Manny Two Feathers. And Uncle Manny comes from Aztec tradition. And welcome to the show, Uncle Manny. Tell the folks about yourself and your traditions, and if it pleases you, the prophecies.
Okay, hi. How are you, Blue Otter?
Hi.
Thanks for the call. Oh, boy, you know, this is a rather difficult times that we're facing. I have children that are, one of them is still in grade school, and one just turned a teenager yesterday. And the thing about it is, you know, I don't foresee a very positive future for all of us, you know. You know, and I'm not a prophet, I'm not anybody of any importance, but in my years of beating around the world and you know, having my bouts of alcohol and diabetes and different things like that, I've learned a few things. And all my life, I've believed that we as human beings are... I don't believe there's a heaven or a hell, except the one that we live in here now. We make our own heaven. In other words, we make things as beautiful and as nice as we want here in this life, or we can really make life miserable for ourselves, and that can be our hell. But as far as predictions, you know, all I've got to go by is, I know that my people, the Aztecs and the Mayan people, which, although they were a different nation, they were integrated through warfare, through marriages, through captives, and I don't think there's very many pure bloods anymore of any nation, of any tribe, anymore. And I know that the Mayans, and both the Mayans and the Aztecs, our calendars only go till the year 2012. And it stops now. Why is that? I've asked myself that question many, many times. I watch the news just like everybody else. But the main thing I do is I'm watching what the scientists are recording, because our people in the old days were very much into science and to the movement of the stars and the heavens. But they also knew they could predict things to happen from the movement and the celestial movements of the stars and the planets and stuff like that. A lot of people, I'm sure you've heard of Buddha Honor, where people say that the edge of the American continent might go to California, and it's going to slide into the ocean. They say that a meteor will hit Earth and kill us off the way it did the dinosaurs, because there's no sun, no vegetation, no nothing for several hundred years and things like that. But I personally believe, and I don't know if you've been listening to it, but there's some rumblings going on within our Mother Earth, because I think she's tired of us abusing her and not praying the way we're supposed to. And those rumblings are coming in the way of earthquakes. I think if there is a catastrophe coming to this Earth, it's going to be from Mother Earth releasing her energy, her pent-up anger, if you will, at our people and over. I think it's going to start around Yellowstone National Park, what we call Yellowstone now, because that's a really high volcanic area. And when that energy is released, it's not going to be from an exterior force that's going to end this life as we know it today. I think it's going to be something from within rather than from without. It's a scary thing to think about. And the only thing that we can do is, and I don't know if it's too late or not, but pollution's got a lot to do with it. The ozone's got a lot to do with it. We're quite literally exterminating ourselves with pollution and things that we put into the air. And I personally have looked at it and my only and strongest solution has been prayer, because I've been sun dancing for many, many years, and I run sweat heart ceremonies all the time, and to me that's the high peak where we can stand, and that the Creator listening to our prayers, through prayer I think we can solve all these problems. But then we still have to get on top of that. We have to get scientific with, like where do we go with these fossil fuels, you know? And I hear a lot of people protesting that we're at war, that we're doing this in Iraq, that we're that were, you know, that were doing all this for oil. And everybody, what makes me laugh and makes me wonder is that every one of those protesters, not a one of them walked to the protest. They all drove there. And you know what? We've got to start with ourselves. And just a bit ago, my wife was showing me this bumper sticker that said, walk this talk. And she said, do you want to put it on the back of your van? And I said, no, because I don't walk my talk. I said, I'm as guilty as everybody else. We protest things, yes, we are there, you know, protesting the use of gas and oil, the war because of it. I said, when we're all driving to the protest, none of us take the time to look at what we're saying and follow what we're saying. We're saying one thing and doing another. Firstly, myself, every time I get into my truck or my van to go anyplace, I take the time to buckle myself in first before I start my van and I get it moving. I know it doesn't make a hill of beans when I do it. But can you imagine if a million or 10 million people did that? In those few seconds that you have to, most people get in their car and they start it, and it takes them 5 to 10, sometimes 15 seconds, half a minute, to make sure that the kids are all buckled in, to make sure that everything is right before you take off, well, and to buckle in. If we all buckled in first, and then made sure that everybody's ready to go, and then start to talk. Those few seconds, if a million people did it, I don't know, I have no way to do the research. So we're talking maybe 15 to 30 seconds. But if, like I said, if a million or 10 million people did it, can you imagine how many tons of pollution we'd eliminate out of our atmosphere? And a lot of people don't think about it, but they'll start their car, or they'll stop and talk to somebody, and they need their car running. You know, this is just one little thing that we could do. I could see the time, Water, that they're going to make engines that'll come up to a stop sign, and they'll automatically stop if you're idling for more than 5 seconds. Because to save this kind of pollution in the air. And then that goes up into the atmosphere. And when it comes down, where does it come down? It doesn't come down into a trash can. It comes down into our water. The water that we want to drink, that we need to drink. And that's another point. I do a lot of traveling. Here at home, I asked my kids, don't flood the toilet just because you went twinkle. But if you did a serious thing, well then, it's all right.
It's like Sunbury used to say, if it's yellow, let it mellow. If it's brown, flush it down.
You know what? I've been saying that for 30 years. Yeah, exactly. And the thing about it is, you know, if 3 or 4 people use it, you know, you're wasting 2 gallons of water to flush down half a pint of urine.
Yeah, if that.
That's ridiculous. This is ridiculous. Because of the simple fact, now it was a scientific fact that I heard on National Geographic or something, that only 2% of the water in this world is drinkable. And that's pretty heavy duty. You know, there's a lot, billions and billions of gallons of water, but we can't drink it. There's just a few, and 2% of it is still a lot of water. But you know, now another thing that I do at home, and my kids do it, my wife does it, we get in the shower and we shampoo our hair, and then we get ourselves good and wet, and then we get the soap, we shut the water off, then we scrub down. The scrubber can take the time then scrubbing down, and you know, and I mean, sometimes to the point that I start drying off before I turn the water back on. In the meantime, I saved 10 gallons of water that didn't go down the drain because I was just standing there letting it hit my back while I'm scrubbing my front and my feet, you know. And if people practice more of these little things like that, you know, we could save a lot of water. And you know, just because you're in a motel room and you're not paying for the water or for heating up that water, doesn't mean you still have to waste it. You know, I go in there, and if I'm staying two nights, I tell them at the front desk, I said, you don't have to take my sheets tonight. And if I can, I'll use a towel both days, you know, because I know at home I don't change my sheets every day. And I don't get a clean towel every time I take a shower. I'll use it two or three times before I put in the dirty clothes, because that's going to be drinkable water up to the water. And even though you're not paying for it, you know, I mean, you're paying for the motel room, and it's not your bill. I mean, it's not going to be the money coming out of your pocket to pay for the gas bill and the electric bill or whatever it is, you know, that the motel gets. Still, we've got to look at the fact that we're just going away what God gave us. And
well, the other thing too, don't mean to interrupt you, but you know, the more sanitary we try to keep, or actually encouraging in the long run to make us sicker, because people that live in countries that are dirtier actually have more resistance to disease.
Exactly.
Which is a good thing.
Well, you know, I don't care how much you scrub down. And now this is a scientific fact too, that we're full of microscopic little bugs that are helping our bodies keep clean, and they live on it, you know, and there's nothing we can do to get rid of them. And like you say, in fact, with too much sanitation, you weaken yourself because you've got no immunity to germs and diseases, you know. And like you said, there's kids down in South America and in Asia and in Africa that drink water right out of puddles on the streets where people sit and walk and urinate and everything else. And there's... Well, they might not be as healthy as we are in one sense of the word, but they're stronger than we are because they could fight off the disease, like you say, you know, it weakens us, you know. But the thing about it is the waste of, to me, the big issue is the waste of water. You know, we overindulge ourselves with food. We do so many things wrong here, you know. We're just a bunch of spoiled little kids, you know, if you want to put it that way. But, anyway.
I'll see you. Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Friends, this is Will Bluewater. Would you think twice about defending yourself or a loved one from an intruder? In this day and age, would you dream of leaving your doors unlocked at night for fear of being burglarized or even attacked or worse? Would you? But when it comes to our own bodies, the doors to our houses are wide open all the time. The very air we breathe and the food we eat, especially here in the United States, creates free radicals that cause us to age and in some cases cause illness, some of which are deadly. Now, for the first time in history, there's a supplement called Protandim that is listed on the U.S. government's PubMed.gov website, with many peer-reviewed studies all showing that Protandim is a proven killer of the free radicals that are aging and in some cases even killing us. Now, I'm not talking about killing one molecule of free radical per one molecule of antioxidants like the stuff we've been taking. I'm talking about killing 1 million free radicals per second, per molecule, and this is the very same antioxidant your own body produces. Protandim superchargers your body to create much more than it does without Protandim.
There's an old saying that we are warned about in the scriptures. That's the attitude, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. So let me ask you, how much money do you spend on food a day? If you're out shopping or at the beach, would you think anything of spending a buck or even more on a can of soda? If there was a vending machine that sold something that killed what was aging you or even killing you, would you even hesitate to spend a buck and a half a day? Well, now there is such a vending machine, and it's sitting right in front of you. It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
Hi, friends. This is Will Blue Otter. I have a message here from 1975 from John Wayne. It comes right out of today's headlines. So you Indian folks who are following the progressive trend in politics, you're following the people that supported slavery. You're following the people that have enslaved you ever since the Civil War. Listen to John Wayne.
You know, it's a funny thing, the Indians now, this AIM group have started something that now they're against me for some reason, but I am the only man in pictures that always gave them their human dignity. I never was in a picture. I never allowed myself at any time to do anything that would take their human dignity away from them, and that to me is the most important thing in a man's. I have found that a certain type that calls himself a liberal, and I always thought I was a liberal. I came up terribly surprised one time when I found that I was a right-wing conservative extremist. When I have listened to everybody's point of view that I ever met, and then decide how I should feel. I mean, but this so-called new liberal group, Jesus, they never listen to your point of view, and they make a decision as to what you think, and they're articulate enough and in control of enough of the press to force that image out for the average person. For some reason, maybe it's these pictures, they have not been able to do that with me. In spite of what they say, people have not taken sides that I'm a, you know, it hasn't affected my career in popularity, let's say. In spite of the fact that they've tried to make it do it. There isn't a hell of a lot that we can do to change human behavior. We keep making laws to try and change human behavior. You can't do it. I think you can accept it and feel how you would feel in that position. You're being conned into Keynesianism and socialism now. But it isn't going to stop the selfishness of human behavior. It isn't going to stop the greed. If you take $20 and give a dollar to every son of a bitch in a room and come back a year later, one of the bastards will have most of the money. I mean, it's just human nature, and you're not gonna whip it with a lot of laws. I think when you make people conscious, as communication gets better, and you make people conscious of somebody in trouble, starving or something like that, the average person will help. But of course now they've got so damn many charities, and there's so much professionalism. You know, there's, if you have a charity, you hire some professionals to work up the charity, and by the time you get the money, you get $4 for the recipient and $400 for the administrators. So, I mean, Christ, I think there are people who try to affect a thinking where they know more than some other son of a bitch and try to put a false impression on what human nature is. Christ's sakes, we have proven that we go back to hope at the first opportunity. Just throw out a little fish and bam, they're out there ready to grab it. So we are optimistic. We have to be optimistic. Christ, what else would there be in life if you lose optimism?
I come from Aztec, and there's some Yankee in my blood, and my dad said that we even had some relatives, some passable relatives in Sonora and Mexico, and just recently I found out that my grandmother on my mother's side, she passed away when my mom was only 6 years old. But she was buried in the Mission Cemetery in San Gabriel, California. And then I found out, about 5-6 years ago that we might be part Gabrielino also, because they never allowed anybody to be buried in the graveyard unless they were Native people, unless they were members of the tribe. And we're in the process of trying to find out. So, you know, I mean, there's such a mixture in me that and I'm a true mixed brother, I'm a true Métis, and in all the senses of the word, because, you know, and it's not my fault, but what the heck, I'm proud of every bit of it, you know. And this is another, you know, getting away a little bit from the environment and from the predictions of what's going to happen.
Hey, this is your show. You talk about what Spirit told you to talk about.
But anyway, I've been Sundancing for quite a few years, and I was very honored that the Shoshone people up in Fort Washington, Wyoming, let me Sundance with them for 4 years. Excuse me. Must be that cigar I had before. Anyway, and then I was very honored because I had a vision during the my second Sundance with him. But anyways, the vision told me to go to the piercing ceremony, and I went to the Lakota people in Rosebud, South Dakota. And I Sundanced for 4 years with an elder named Norbert Running there, and he honored by letting me dance with him, and I danced for 4 years with Norbert, and then I danced for quite a few years in Pine Ridge with another Sundancer, David Swallow Jr., a good man. He was a good teacher and he encouraged his Sundancers in a good way, you know, to follow his path. And I believe that he don't do that by accident. And I don't believe that we choose to do it, because there's a lot more fun things to do than go to Sundance and go through the ceremonies of thirst and hunger, you know. I've had my visions, and for the last 5 years, I've been running my own Sundance. The first 2 years was in Oklahoma, and we lost the land, so we couldn't keep going there, so we moved our Sundance to here to southern Pennsylvania, western Pennsylvania. And we've had it going now, what I call the mixed blood Sundance. It's a word that I coined myself. It used to be, if you spelled it out, if you said those words, they were two separate words that were spelled M-I-X-E-D-D-O-O-D. And I coined constructed the word, made it into one word, and I spelled it M-I-X-B-L-O-O-D, so it's one word out of mix blood, because there's no real word for us here. Are you any kind of native, Blue Otter?
I'm about a 64th Cherokee that I can prove.
Okay.
Well, and who knows what else?
Well, you find yourself in. But see, an old, one of the old chiefs said, either you're native or you're not.
Yep.
And it doesn't matter. The blood quantum was established by an Englishman. And I don't know why the native people still try to follow that. You know, either you are or you're not. And because this Englishman took some natives to England to show them off, you know, like his pet. Have puppies or something. And he said, this one right here is a full blood. He's from so-and-so, I don't know what we call it, blood nation. It was from, but this is the daughter of a Frenchman, so she's only half. And that started the whole blood quantum thing. Well, let me tell you a little bit about that also. Now, this is a doctor in Stanford University. His name is,
That's okay.
66.
I'm only 50 and I do it more often than you do.
Anyway, he did a lot of research on blood types and he found out that the native people from here, from South America through up to Alaska, we had one strain of DNA in our blood that's not found in any other native people. Excuse me. It's not found in anybody else except native people. And it's not found in African Americans or in Caucasians or Asians or anybody like that. It's only found in Native Americans. And the thing about it is, and he said, it doesn't matter if you only have one drop of native blood in you. He says, that strain of DNA will show up. And I said, without knowing what he was saying, that elder, and I think he was a Lakota elder, said, either you are or you're not.
Well, that's what our Atakulakula, or Atakulakula, was one of our head chiefs. He was back by 1750, and we had a little different system. This principal chief thing is an English creation, but he himself, they call him the little carpenter, because he was so good at putting together treaties. He was a real statesman, but he himself was an adoptee in Cherokee. He was actually one of the tribes up in Canada. He was kidnapped, and later in life, he went and spent time with him. But he is the one that said that it only takes one drop of blood to be considered a Cherokee. And the tradition was out to the 11th generation, you know, or 1,024th.
Mm-hmm.
1,024th was all it took to be, you know, and that itself is figurative. So it's just one drop.
Yeah, exactly what I'm saying. And I had never heard of that. And so, the thing about it is, the biggest thing is that you have to acknowledge yourself as a native. And with the Métis people, the mixed blood, if you call yourself a native or a mixed blood, and you recognize as such by your village, and your village doesn't necessarily mean where you live, but the people you associate with. That's your village. If they recognize you as native, then you are indeed native. And, you know, and I know that a lot of the so-called full bloods refer to people like yourself, people that are fly-complected or light-complected, to say, well, I'm Cherokee, or I'm Choctaw, or I'm Blackfoot, to say, oh, you're just a wannabe, and that's wrong. You know, it's very wrong. I mean, nobody, you know, when I, you know, and I've heard this too, that there's a lot of Sun Dances where they don't allow, quote, quote, white people into to dance. You know, even if they claim a native part of them. And you know what? I've never heard or seen where the Creator said that any of these ceremonies belong only to one people. And he said, from what I understand, even in the Lakota language, they say the Sun Dance and the Slut Lodge and that the ceremonies, that they belong to the people. He never said to the Indian people. He never said to the white people. He never said to the black people. He said, the people. And then we would all say, all my relations will be going in and out of the sweat line, or even in the Sun Dance. Who are we referring to? Are we referring to only the native people? Or, you know, because everybody that's on this planet is a relative. We're all related. And this is, it's just, gosh, I got plenty of things that I want to talk about. But anyway, that's just some of the things that I've learned through the years. And this is when I was dancing up with the Lakota people, and they really honored me by letting me dance with them, it got to the point where I saw a lot of the younger people not showing the respect that they should for elders, and a couple instances, they tried to use me as the butt of one of their jokes, and I was just sitting around and walk away. I didn't pay attention to them. They kind of killed the fun out of their jokes, and I thought, man, I don't need this in my life. You know, here I go through a lot of time, expense, and worry, and driving to come over here to pray and to dance in this way, and to just be the butt of somebody's joke. So that's when the Creator said, hey, it's time to start your own for the mixed blood people. And I'll tell you what, I have a lot of your Cherokee brothers come and dance with us over here in Pennsylvania, and a bunch of them dance with me there in Oklahoma. Every year it gets a little bit bigger, the Sun Dance, and as long as God gives me the strength enough and the courage to keep on doing it, I will, you know.
I know Ed McGaw. I think Ed would be proud of you.
Oh, I know Ed. I know Ed well. He's, we email each other once in a while, and he's a mixed blood. He's a Lakota, but he's also a mixed blood. I can name you a bunch of Sun Dance people. I won't say any names, but I'll tell you what, I know a bunch of them that run around, and I don't understand how they have been discriminated against for so many years, and now they're in a place of power, they discriminate against others. I just don't know, I don't see the justification. They discriminate against people that look too white. They discriminate against people that are gay.
Let me tell you a little, not to interrupt, but I got to tell you this story, Uncle Manny. Got a good friend from Pennsylvania. Name's David Wilson. And he is a Lenape descendant. But he's 6'4", blue-eyed, red-haired. And he, back in 96, just after the two deities appeared at Rocky Ridge, the two Navajo deities appeared, the following summer, the Sun Dance, which had been held up there for about 50 years, was held. And David had been invited by a leader of the Native American Church, Alan Nezkai, who was a well-known Diné Navajo leader, who had been a Christian minister and had been so badly treated by his fellow Christians that he went back to the old ways and became a Native American church minister. But anyway, Alan had been going over to the Sundance over at Rocky Ridge for many years. He took Dave with him, and they wouldn't let him dance. To make a long story short, they were driving him out of the sled. They were giving him the wrong times to show up for the preparatory sweats, and just threatening to steal his pipe if he didn't leave. So David went to Leonard Crowdog. Now, Leonard was presiding there, but he wasn't running it. And Leonard said, well, there's nothing I can do. So he invited him to go dance at Crowdog's Paradise and became David's uncle. But interesting thing that happened, though, there was that they had black people, they had that Mexican people, they had Japanese people, all the Oriental people dancing there, but they wouldn't let David dance just because he was white.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
so David, discrimination.
The funny thing is that the creator got revenge for David because just before he left, he went over and visited the Japanese who were over to Sundance, and Japanese were telling him that they were cooking something over the fire, and he says, oh, what you cooking? And the Japanese guy says, well, he says, there's this dog running around, you know, and we cooked him, and we're barbecuing him, and isn't he good? And David says, oh, by the way, did you happen to give any of this to the Sundance chief? Oh, yeah, they ate it. And he said, well, did they know what it was? And the Japanese guy says, no, they sure didn't. You know, the last thing any Dene person wants to eat is coyote. It's like that. It's the worst medicine there is for. So,
they won't even cut the coyote.
Well, they ate it during the Sundance.
Oh, boy.
Creator got a back.
Yeah.
Creator got a sense of humor, but go ahead, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Anyway, this is why I started my own Sundance, and because here there's no discrimination. Here there's no, there's nobody too white or too black or too red or not red enough, you know. Everybody's received and treated with respect unless they show otherwise, you know. We honor everybody and...
illness, some of which are deadly. Now, for the first time in history, there's a supplement called Protandim that is listed on the U.S. government's PubMed.gov website, with many peer-reviewed studies all showing that Protandim is a proven killer of the free radicals that are aging, and in some cases even killing us. Now, I'm not talking about killing one molecule of free radical per one molecule of antioxidants like the stuff we've been taking. I'm talking about killing 1 million free radicals per second, per molecule, and this is the very same antioxidant your own body produces. Protandim supercharges your body to create much more than it does without Protandim. There's an old saying that we are warned about in the scriptures. That's the attitude, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. So let me ask you, how much money do you spend on food a day? If you're out shopping or at the beach, would you think anything of spending a buck or even more on a can of soda? If there was a vending machine that sold something that killed what was aging you or even killing you, would you even hesitate to spend a buck and a half a day? Well, now there is such a vending machine, and it's sitting right in front of you. It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. It is so great to have our friend Marie Osmond back here on GMA, and she has some important information about making sure your family is prepared for natural disaster. She's the new national spokesperson for Wise Company, which makes dehydrated and freeze-dried emergency foods and food storage products. She's here to tell us about that. Marie, you've been given the opportunity to endorse probably 9 billion things over the course of your career.
True.
Why the Wise Company?
The reason I wanted to do it is because it's affordable. You can eat a meal for a dollar. It's less than school lunch. It's affordable, but really, look at what's been going on with Sandy and Katrina. I mean, what was it, $78 billion of damage done just here in New York and
right.
New Jersey.
So what is this?
What it is it's emergency meals. And, you know, it's not your grandmother's kind, not the beans and rice and the gross chicken-tasting
right.
garbage. This is lasagna and really good stuff. And I swear to you, why am I here talking about this? Because I know it's going to save thousands and thousands and thousands of lives. You put it under your bed. It's convenient. Stick it in your closet. If something happens, I have it in my car. All you do is you open it and you add water. You don't even have to add hot water.
Right.
And it's affordable. It's convenient. It tastes really good. Taste the peaches. They're fantastic.
This is a peach?
But they're different than every other company because it's like dehydrated. And freeze-dried, and they combine whatever. I swear it's fantastic. Just try it.
I'm trying it right now. Marie
put it
Osmond.
Under your bed, put it in your closet, give it for Christmas to people, and save lives.
Thank you very much. Will you tell Donnie that we said we hope his rear feels better?
Well, you know, it's kind of a bummer, but I'll tell him.
No, Marie Osmond, great having you on.
It's
the Wise
so fun
Company.
To be here.
Great to be with you.
It's always fun to be here. This is a great place.
All right.
Friends, this is Will Bluewater. If you'd like to find out more about Wise Foods, visit wisefoods.org.
But anyways, I'd like to get into something else now. One of the things that I really feel proud of myself and have accomplished in my later years. I'm 66 years old. I'm an elder, and I can't get around too good anymore sometimes. And my legs hurt, and my hips hurt, and my knees hurt, and my head hurts. And, you know, just I live from one thing to the other sometimes, but. But I still pour lodges, and in fact, I mentioned this Sunday, she's lived down in Florida. They come all the way from Florida to Sundance with me. They've invited me to come down and kind of oversee for everyone in the afternoon, and they want to have one in the evening on the 30th of December. And then they want to have one at midnight, and then they want to have another fourth one at daybreak on the first. And so we're going to say goodbye to the old year and welcome the new year with ceremony. And they asked me to go down there. Well, first thing I said, well, you know what, because I don't have the money to go down there to Florida, you know, from Pennsylvania. And so they picked up a collection and for me to, you know, for my expenses, for my motels and gas and food to get down there to oversee the ceremony. But I told them, I said, well, look, I said, I don't know if I can run that many threats. And I said, for you guys, and all of them have done over four or five Sundances, so they're well qualified to run it. So I said, well, you guys are going to have to, I'll run one, I said, but you guys have got to run the other. They said, okay, we'll do that. So that's where I'm going. But my other accomplishments as an elder has been, I'm pretty grateful to my wife because she's been a lot of my inspiration and my pressure, you know, making me know when I was, she kind of laid back and let me do my things whenever I feel like. In fact, she's always telling me to lay down and rest. And I said, I'm not that sick. I'm not that old. I don't need no medicine. But anyway, I've written four books, and I didn't write my first one until about 8 years ago. And the name of that book is My Road to the Sundance, Well, this has had real good success. It's on this, I think it's on the fourth or fifth inning. We've updated it a couple times. Like the first time that I wrote it, it only had, now it's not a how-to book. I've never tried to teach anybody how to stand up, but, you know, and it's not a book that, that's telling people, come on and stand up to it, you know, it's not like it's not a propaganda book. It's, all it is what's happened to me, and I put it on paper. What happened to me to pull me onto this road, you know, the reasons that I had, I shared. And, which is another point I want to say, but now a lot of people say that it's, that your reasons you shouldn't share them with anybody, and that, your reasons are, personal, that you should keep it to yourself. You should, if you only share them with anybody, you should only be with a medicine person that's gonna, maybe interpret them for you, you know, and tell you what they mean. And, but you know what? I as an elder, I'm entitled to my own opinion and to my own way of looking at things. If you stop and look at everything, that happens in a person's life, they're either dreams or visions. And, to me, if you have a vision that includes others, I mean, it's no longer just your vision, it'll be with the others also. In other words, if you had a vision, it's like, well, take Blue Otter, for example. You're sitting there, you have a vision, taking, you have a weekly, daily program, I don't know what it is. You had a vision to teach the elders by myself and get them on page and release their words to maybe try to help a younger person with their words and what they have to say. You had a vision to do this. If you would have kept it to yourself, where would you be at that moment? But you had to share that vision with others, because when you wanted to speak to others and get them to say their words of wisdom on the air for you, then it exceeded other people, and it no longer belongs to the Blue Otter. It belongs to all of us.
That's right. And be sure and stay as close to that mic as you can, where you're fading a little bit.
Okay. Oh, my phone was dropping a little bit. do you understand what I'm saying?
Oh, sure.
And this is why when I had my visions, it included other people. And I couldn't keep it to myself. And the thing about it is, what do we do every time we sundance, every time we vision quest, every time we sweat and sweat lodge? We're asking for guidance. We're asking for visions. We're asking for direction. Yet, if you get it to a vision and don't follow it, well then, what the heck are you doing the ceremony for? If you're not going to do what you're being told, then you might as well quit doing the ceremony. That's the way I look at it. And so, you know, maybe that's a little radical, but I don't believe so. You know, we're praying for things, and if the Creator brings us what we want, what we're asking for, and then we don't follow it, we might as well not even pray for it. But anyway, I had a vision to write this book, My Road to the Sundance. And I, like I said, I put on it just what's happened to me. I mentioned only first names with a lot of people, and I only had one person get upset because I'd used their name, and they sent me a nasty letter, so the next training, his name was out of it, you know, so. But the thing about it was that most people, in fact, my son, that chief, I only put his first name. And when he read the book, because I let him read it to approve it before I got it printed, he said, if you're going to use my name, use my full name, he said, because I'm proud of who I am and what I do. So that's why I put his full name. And then, you know, like I said, we revised it a couple of times, and I did the last revision here about a year and a half ago, and I'm not going to revise it anymore. We can only go to the tree so many times before it starts getting old. As far as people that, you know, that are reading the book. But it's a wonderful book. It's, how can I say prices anyway?
Sure, absolutely. And by the way, folks that are listening along, you can go right now, on the page that you're listening to, Manny Two Feathers, there are links to his website. There are pictures of his books. There are pictures of his crafts, pictures of his stone people. All you have to do is click on any of the crafts of the stone people or his book and take you right over to the website where you can order his book. But go ahead, Uncle Tom Manny.
Anyway, well, this is what I was going to say, because I'm sure on the website you have the price on there. And if we get the order here at home, which we would through the link, I would personally autograph it personally for you, or if you want to make a gift, I would just tell me who to, and our link will take you to, I think it's PayPal, which will take your credit card, and you can pay with Visa, MasterCard, American Express, any of the major credit cards, I believe. But anyway, when we get the order, what we do is, I sign the book personally to yourself or to whomever you want. And it's a really good book. I've gotten a lot of, thank goodness people take the time to email me or write me and tell me how the book's changed their life in a very positive way. And so I'm grateful for that. And just recently, oh my goodness, what was it? About 5-6 months ago, maybe not even that long, I finished another book. It's called, and I did one that was called Stone People Medicine. And I've got one that's not, it's finished, but I need to polish it up. It's called Warbo. It's a fiction story about an Asian warrior. And I won't say anymore because it's pretty interesting reading, but I'm working on that one, trying to polish it up. And maybe we'll release it now in the spring of next year. But the one I was just going to tell you about was the Coco Pelli Dream. I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with Coco Pelli, the what people call the hunchback flute player. And actually, from what I've been able to gather, he wasn't a hunchback. But he used to carry his robe, which was a robe or an alkite, later on in later years, an alkite. And he was given so many gifts that he couldn't carry them in his hand, so he'd put them in this robe, and he would hook it over his neck or over his shoulder. And anybody knows that if you're carrying a pretty heavy load behind you and something, and even a backpack or a knapsack, if it's heavy enough, you have to lean forward because of the weight to compensate for the weight behind you. And then consequently, when that pack was full, he would be leaning forward, and from a distance he would look like a hunchback, but he wasn't. And but anyway, a lot of you are familiar with, and the ones that are not, I ask several questions. I ask, why of all the millions of people that live in the Western Hemisphere, why is he one of the few that is still remembered today? You know, why was this likeness carved and chiseled into stone cave and caves and cliffs, you know, how did he make such an impression on people that they wanted to record his passing or his staying there and that, with those people that did that in that village for any length of time, you know? I mean, we remember Montezuma, we remember Oliochi, which is pretty recent, you know, in the 1800s. 1600s, but this guy was here like 2,000 years ago, I don't know, 1,500 years ago, 1,000 years ago. Nobody really knows who he was, where he came from. But this book also was a vision, a dream that I had, I dreamt that I was sitting down and his spirit walked up behind me, or appeared behind me, and although I didn't see anything, I heard a voice tell me to write the story of his life through my eyes. And it was almost like in the dream, I knew that it was his spirit that was behind me. And I asked him, well, how can I write anything about you? How can I do life if I don't know anything about you? And he said, don't worry, just sit down and start writing. Everything you need will come to you. Well, unfortunately, a lot of it came to me, but not everything that I needed, because I feel that the book is incomplete. But then one of my very human faith kicked in. I wanted to get it out before Christmas, before this big book show in Chicago. So I hurried it up, and you know, when you hurry, you don't get everything done that you want to do. And so consequently, and I would, if you don't mind, I'd like to read a little bit about...
Absolutely.
This is out of the book. Well, this is a review from Midwest Books. Midwest Books. They do reviews for a lot of people. I'll read that. A book of fantasy. Coco Perry's Dream is a fictional journey of the legend of Coco Perry, the flute player. Coco Perry's image has been found in South Central and North America and beyond, but it is not known who he was nor where he came from. His image and legend survive with vigor even today. Written with simplicity, the author explains him well. A story inspired by a dream the author had and written as though he walked and lived Coco Perry's life. Anyone interested in legends, especially of the Americas, will enjoy this tale of life of a man or a spirit who wandered the Americas long ago, spreading the concepts of compassion, peace, love, sexuality, and spirituality, but whose origin and end are unknown. The legend has traveled down through the ages and is a fascinating read. However, be aware that this book is for adults only, as there are several explicit sexual situations included. When entering the sweat lodge, the Temascal, which is the word that we use in Spanish for a sweat lodge, Temascal, when entering the sweat lodge, we would stop at the door and say the word, Om Mateo. It is hard to translate, but it was brought to us to thank the Creator for all that there is and for all duality, the good, the bad, the day, the night, the female, and the male. In other words, the balance of life to life and all that exists.
I'll see you.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
It's the little yellow pill that scientists say could eliminate chronic diseases and help you live well into your hundreds.
You might be able to increase the lifespan of a mammal by 50%. And, of course, if that was a human being, then that might be in the order of 130 to 150 years.
That claim might be hard to swallow. But tonight on ABC's Primetime Live, co-anchor John Quiñones takes the promising antioxidant therapy called Protandim.
I have become a guinea pig for ABC News and Primetime. It's not a drug. It's a supplement. It's called Protandim, and it's a combination of five exotic plants that have been around for centuries.
Have you discovered the fountain of youth?
I wouldn't put it that way, but we may have discovered something that will tell us a lot more about how we age what happens biochemically, and maybe how we can slow it down.
Quinones has been taking Protandim for 2 weeks now and tells Extra,
I am sleeping better. I feel a lot better and also energized when I do wake up.
Primetime puts Protandim to the test tonight.
It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now.
So I read the review in that bottom paragraph as to one inch in the sweatline. That's out of the book, and it's a very interesting book. And let me see if my wife, I'm the author, but I'll tell you what, she goes to the painstaking problem of entering
your
computer and correcting it and she knows more about it. She's also my publisher. Yes, she is, so she can give some of her comments. Thanks.
Sure.
Hi, Gloria.
Hey, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. And you?
I'm doing fine. Good to talk to you again.
You too.
So what are you going to tell us about today?
Well, this project that was given to Manny by We Think, Kelly Spirit, is a very important and timely effort. People now really need to read this message, even though it was set in such a long time ago, even though it's a fictional story. There's a lot of elements of the story that are very timely for today's climate. Compassion for others. And also, I really feel that it will help heal a lot of men. I think there's been a lot of male bashing in the last, probably since the feminist movement began. And they may get in trouble with my sisters, but there has been a lot of male bashing, and perhaps some of it's been justified, but I don't feel that it's been justified for all men. I think a lot of men are very sensitive, and I think they're more complicated than they're being given credit for, and I feel that this book will help to heal a lot of men in that, as Coco Pelle travels, and he has some sexual encounters. You know, it's an adult book. But in his sexual encounters and his experiences and his travels, challenges that are presented to him, I feel, being the editor and publisher of this book, I feel it will really help a lot of men to heal. Men that struggle with a lot of things in there, just trying to make it in this world, in this struggle, during these tough times, struggle with relationships with women, mothers, children, being a father, being a partner with other men, with other women. And I think of all the things that this book will help, I think a lot of men will find great comfort and healing from this book.
Sounds good.
So I really encourage both men and women to read it, because I feel that there's elements of the story that will help women that have struggled with different situations. I don't want to give away what situations, so people will read the book, but there is experiences that Coco Pelle encounters and learns along the way about how to treat your fellow human being better.
We sure appreciate you being so supportive, Manny. I know it's that life's not easy for an author on the road.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's not so much the author aspect But in essence, myself and my children share him with the world because he's called on for ceremony, and he's basically had people beck and call for ceremony and for help and healing and counsel. And he will not refuse. You know, many times he's gone without in order for him to fulfill what he feels is his spiritual obligation. And, you know, we've had our phones shut off and we've gone through our tough times. But I feel that what his work is here to do is more important than maybe having the comforts and traditional dad at home all the time. That's what we all chose each other as a family unit to be together, because his job was to help others.
Well, let me introduce an idea at this point that, you know, nowadays the medicine people and the counselors are the poorest people in the tribe. It used to be they were the richest.
Yeah.
Somewhere along the way, somebody got the idea that, and they say, oh, if you give a medicine person money, you know, it's bad or it's against tradition. Well, how does that work? Because the only money that they had was elk hides, or they bring a quarter of an elk, or gear, or whatever they had.
That,
you know, whatever was the point of the realm at the time. And they were well taken care of.
Right.
And now they're almost spit on.
Well, I don't
think... And sometimes are spit on.
I don't think it's that they're spit on, maybe on the internet, but... I don't think it's that they're spit on. I think it's just that people have such a hang-up with money, cash. And they don't associate giving a medicine person or a native elder that's given up their time and time away from their family. They don't associate giving them cash with the old days when they give them a hide or a horse or whatever they needed. And let's face it, you know, today our horses are our cars. Our hides are our gas.
Sure.
And,
in the old days, everybody else, all the other guys went hunting, and they left him in there to counsel everybody. You know, if a woman had a problem, oh, you know, my husband's not to treat me well or so-and-so, and they have somebody to go to and to work out things and mediate. And, you know, everybody lived with everything in common, and they would make sure that he and his family were fed.
Yeah.
But not now. There's so many of them hanging up their feathers. I've talked about this at length with Grandfather Red Elk and others, and it's so sad.
Well, it is sad, and I think it's because of the attitude, and I think, and forgive me for saying this, but I think a lot of it has to do with certain factions of the American Indian movement and their wanting to live traditionally. I don't see any of the AIM members that are protesting natives going to ceremonies and being given cash donations for their participation in the ceremonies, and I'm not saying to charge for ceremonies. I'm saying that the people attending voluntarily give the sweat lodge person running the sweat lodge something for their time. Same as they have no problem going to church in some instances and throwing money in the plate. And some kids will put a couple of quarters in the plate, and some people will put $20 in the plate, whatever it takes to get their spiritual upliftment. And there's just been an attitude, and there's been a prostitution of the ways. There's been a taking advantage of the ways in many ways, in many instances, where it's justified. And people have had to say, well, this is what it's going to cost if you want to be in ceremony.
That's wrong.
And that's the sad part, because they've ruined it for many genuine elders that that really could use the gas money. You know what I'm saying?
No.
And so I think it really boils down to changing people's attitudes towards what it is that they're getting from the benefit of the counsel of this elder that takes his time out from his family, or is away from his family in order for them to be, have their lives made a little bit better.
And the sad thing is all this was prophesied that this would happen, that even up to the point where the elders wouldn't even know what to say, or they would be afraid to speak at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're there. And, you know, and the people that are doing the persecuting are a few people in AIM. It's a very few.
Mm-hmm.
And,
I think there's a lot of aspects of AIM that's good.
Oh, sure. But, they themselves, they didn't have a clue. You know, when they were they were city Indians in Minneapolis when they
mm-hmm.
started this whole thing.
Right.
And they went to Crow Dog's grandfather, and, you know, he just looked at them and said, well, you know, have you purified yourselves? And they say, well, what's that? He says, you know, when you get a clue and you get purified, come back. You know, and now they're the ones that want to be the judge, jury, and executioner.
Yes.
Some literally executioner, you know, like Anime and others that have been murdered
right.
by their own people. I mean, what's that?
Well, you know, I don't know if you were aware of this, but both Dennis Banks and Russell Means have endorsed Manny's book, My Road to the Sundance.
Man, that's fantastic.
And that was pretty high praise from, excuse me, and I'm not sure if Clive Belcourt has read it, but I know many A members have come and thanked Manny personally for revealing his journey and his vision through his book, My Road to the Sundance, and how it's helped them on their path, including, I might add, which was really a huge honor for us, the Grand Chief of the First Nations in Canada, Ovid Mercredi. He was the Grand Chief, I believe, for 4 terms. And in Canada, the system is much different than here. As you can imagine, they treat their native people much better. But all the tribes in Canada vote on one representative in the government to represent all the tribes. Now, can you imagine that kind of unity down here?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be idyllic?
Yeah, it sure would.
And powerful. And so,
they got their problems up there, but you know.
Yes, they do, but you know, a lot more treaties have been met and land
yep.
given back in Canada than I've seen in any other indigenous people
uh-huh.
in the world. But anyway, the Grand Chief, we met him in Hall, Quebec, at a conference called the Sacred Assembly, and he had been given Manny's book, My Road to the Sundance, and when he found out that Manny was there set up, we were selling our crafts and things, and he met Manny, he said that Manny's book made him proud to be Native. Now, that's pretty high praise. Even Robert Redford sent a letter to the publisher saying that it was an important book of recorded modern history. So, you know, there's a lot of influential people that have been touched by his book, and people from all walks of life, even housewives in the kitchen and Wall Street white-collar workers. It touched people from all ways. And in his new book, Cocopelli's Dream, entwined with Cocopelli's story is some of that same wisdom. It comes through in every book Manny's written. So I'll leave you with that, and I'll
thank you so much.
Put Manny on. And thank you so much for this opportunity. And
he had never said anything about all that.
No, he wouldn't, because he doesn't like to chew his own horn, but that's my job.
Okay.
Anyway, much love to you and your family, and
yeah.
all the best of the season to you.
Okay.
His name.
I'll see you.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
It is so great to have our friend Marie Osmond back here on GMA, and she has some important information about making sure your family is prepared for natural disaster. She's the new national spokesperson for Wise Company, which makes dehydrated and freeze-dried emergency foods and food storage products. She's here to tell us about that. Marie, you've been given the opportunity to endorse probably 9 billion things over the course of your career.
True.
Why the Wise Company?
The reason I wanted to do it is because it's affordable. You can eat a meal for a dollar. It's less than school lunch. It's affordable, but really, look at what's been going on with Sandy and Katrina. I mean, what was it, $78 billion of damage done just here in New York and
right.
New Jersey.
So what is this?
What it is it's emergency meals. And, you know, it's not your grandmother's kind, not the beans and rice and the gross chicken-tasting
right.
garbage. This is lasagna and really good stuff. And I swear to you, why am I here talking about this? Because I know it's going to save thousands and thousands and thousands of lives. You put it under your bed. It's convenient. Stick it in your closet. If something happens, I have it in my car. All you do is you open it and you add water. You don't even have to add hot water.
Right.
And it's affordable. It's convenient. It tastes really good. Taste the peaches. They're fantastic.
This is a peach?
But they're different than every other company because it's like
dehydrated.
And freeze-dried, and they combine whatever. I swear it's fantastic. Just try it.
I'm trying it right now, Marie
Osmond. Put it under your bed, put it in your closet, give it for Christmas to people, and save lives.
Thank you very much. Will you tell Donnie that we said we hope his rear feels better?
Well, you know, it's kind of a bummer, but I'll tell him.
No, Marie Osmond, great having you on.
It's
the Wise
so fun
Company.
To be here.
Great to be with you.
It's always fun to be here. This is a great place.
All right.
Friends, this is Will Bluewater. If you'd like to find out more about Wise Foods, visit wisefoods.org.
Yeah. Uncle Manny, you've been too humble. I'll find out about this.
Well, see, the thing about it is, like I said, it's I have a hard time, toot my own horn, you know, and I've been very thankful, you know, for a lot of the. It's not a lot of wonderful people in my life since I've gotten into writing, you know, it's a wonderful journey that I'm on, you know. Unfortunately, I'm getting old, you know, and I don't know how long it's going to go on anymore. So hopefully, as long as I've got the strength and the health to do it, I'm going to keep running Sundance. And it's like I tell the guys, come on, give your best. Because I'm not doing it for me. I'm doing it for you guys, you know. And they're pretty strong Lexicon Sundancers, you know, and like I said, they're all Métis, they're all Métis blood. And,
we're our own nation. More and more have come to realize that we're our own nation.
Yeah, I've been asked what race I am, I tell them human. From the human race, you know. I heard you, I heard my wife talking with you about this money thing, and I see that so many people prostituting our waste. I mean, actually putting the price of it cost so much for sweat lodge, and it cost so much for Sundance. And I'm not going to get too deep into it because I know that some people do it. Because of hearsay, not because I've seen it personally. But I'll tell you what. I personally, and I'll say it before God and the world, I have never asked anybody for anything, money, you know, to run a family. I've never done that. I never will. Now, if somebody offers me a donation, I will gracefully take it because, like I told my wife, like he was saying, I don't ever fly to anything. I drive. And I drive my van, and it would really be nice if I could pull up to the gas station, go in and tell a clerk, well, you know, I'm going to say some prayers for you. Can I have a tank of gas? It doesn't work that way. And I've got to eat, you know, I've become kind of attached to food, you know, and it's things like that, you know, and like my wife told you, hey, we've been threatened with, our rent was late, we didn't make a payment, and they shut our phone off for 2 or 3 days, and while she had to call, you know, and say, you know how the phone companies are. We've been threatened with having our electricity shut off, our our cable on our TV was shut off several times because I was doing ceremonies and I wasn't selling any of my past to cover the bills. And some people seem to believe it because I'm spiritual and I'm an elder and I'm a Sundance chief that I shouldn't have to do anything else, you know. But they don't stop and realize that I got bills just like everybody else.
Yeah.
And another thing I'd like to tell your listeners that I perform Native wedding ceremonies. And I have my own way of doing it, and it's a beautiful ceremony. But it was never recognized by the courts because it was an Indian, quote, Indian ceremony. And so I went and I had myself ordained as a reverend. And now with that title, I can go to any county in any state and register and tell them I'm an ordained reverend. Here's my certificate. I would like to register with your court because I have to perform a wedding ceremony here. And they'll put my name down and I'm registered with them. And then I take the papers off. And I take them out and I perform the wedding and we fill out the papers, the bride and the groom and the relatives. And then I go back and register it and it's just as legal as any other church wedding in the country.
Sure.
So I've done it for that reason because I wanted, when I went through that much time and effort and the kids that were getting married are going through all that expense and time and effort that the ceremony was binding, not only spiritually, but legally. And those of you that read my book know I have a problem with established religion, you know. Just too many of our people have been hurt ever since the Spaniards hit Mexico and the people hit Plymouth Rock, the Europeans. There's been a lot of our people hurt, killed, poisoned. I mean, you name it. They tried extermination, all in the name of God, you know. Not God, but in the name of Christianity. So consequently, I'm living way away from that time, but I still harbor a little resentment in that area, you know. I just want nothing to do with established religions, you know. I mean, I respect them and I honor them. I've had a preacher come into my arbor and ask if he can do a blessing on somebody, and I tell him, sure, you know, and I step back. But I'm not going to let him take over the arbor, if you know what I mean. Because, you know... And some of them do that, and then they start trying to recruit people, and they come, hey, back off, bud, you know, I'm going to take a little bit of flag, but you know, I'm not going to come in here, you know, and take over. This is a native ceremony. We come out of our way to do it, and this is what it's going to remain, you know. So you see, there's a lot of things that we're fighting right now, you know, that we, not fighting, you know, physically, but the things that we have to put up with. Like I had a couple of Sundancers that came to our Sundance and they had nothing with them. They didn't have sleeping bags, they didn't have food, they didn't have clothing. And you know what? From some place in all the people that were there, we got them clothes, we got them sleeping bags, we got them a tent, we got them everything to camp out in, you know, and they had plenty to eat for the week and a half that we were there, you know. You know, it's not like we ask people for donations. If they can make it, if they can't, that's fine. They can still come, you know. So, anyway, Blue Otter, how are we for time?
We got all the time that you want to give.
Okay, well, I'm pretty well. I just want to encourage everybody to, if they want spiritual uplifting, my little Sundance book will do that. And one of the things that I want to say also on Coco Petty 3, it's a nice little book. It's $10. And the beauty of it is that besides the adventures, which is exciting, there's also a lot of wisdom that came through, a lot of teachings. And one gentleman that read it said, it's amazing how many pearls of wisdom you can find in that book if you look. You know, and I want to encourage people if they want some spiritual uplifting, and if they want a nice little book, the spiritual uplifting, of course, is in the My Road to Sundance, and the good book to read from is in the Coco Petty 3. Feel free to get on my website and order it, and we'll be happy to kind of take it to you and also know you want.
Sure. Well, we sure appreciate you being on the show, and let's have you, if you're done, you know, for today. Otherwise, you keep talking, but we'll sure like to have you back in the spring when you release your new book.
Well, that's a possibility, because it's another good book.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, well, thank you very much for having me on the show, and I wish everybody a nice holiday season, and I wish all of you, because you're all my relations, will be in my prayers when I run the foot lodges down in Florida. So may the Creator take care of all of you and protect you and give you good health.
Well, thanks for the blessing, Uncle Manny.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye now.
I'll see you.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
There is a growing movement of people who are deciding to make their lives better. At LifeVantage, we're in the business of change, of improving quality of life globally and restoring the ability to make dreams a reality. Your quest for personal fulfillment begins here. Our flagship product, Protandem, the Nrf2 Synergizer, is the key to fighting oxidative stress. This daily supplement, comprised of natural ingredients, activates the body's antioxidant enzymes to eliminate free radicals, which cause oxidative stress. Protandem has been tested in the laboratories of renowned universities, such as The Ohio State University, LSU, and the University of Colorado, Denver. These studies found on PubMed.gov, the U.S. government's online scientific library, clinically show that Protandem reduces oxidative stress.
When I saw that Protandem reduces oxidative stress by 40% in 30 days, I was all in for the rest of my life.
Everyone begs us for science as an industry. Where's your proof? Well, we have that also.
LifeVantage is devoted to advancing Nrf2 science and leading the fight against oxidative stress.
It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now.
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. This station's only means of support is through donations and purchases of the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library, which includes lifetime online access to a printable 1,000-page intelligence briefing and a worldwide indigenous prophecy encyclopedia. Now, folks, there's nothing else like this collection on the planet, all for $9.99, formerly priced at $29.99. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files and 222 folders. It includes the Prophecy Keeper's Prepper's Self-Reliance files and all of our previous over 100 Prophecy Keepers interviews. So head on over to prophecykeepers.com right now and have a free sneak peek today of two-thirds of the Prophecy Keepers trilogy and a peek of the dashboard of the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault.
I'll see you.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
You want to get an edge on turning back the clock with just a few pills? Who doesn't? Well, it's no longer science fiction, but science possibility, a potential breakthrough. As I found out firsthand, there may be a way to erase years, at least inside my body. Granted, it's down the road, but some scientists are wondering if a new pill I took might offer a very long life.
It may not look like the Fountain of Youth, but inside this nondescript building, I'm about to become part of an exciting experiment, a kind of guinea pig.
Dr. McCord, okay.
I'm here at the University of Colorado in Denver to meet Dr. Joe McCord, a world-renowned scientist.
This is pretty exciting stuff you're finding, huh?
It is. We're very excited about it.
His latest research could very well unravel the mystery of aging itself, and his decades of experiments may have the potential of adding years to people's lives and possibly prevent chronic diseases like cancer, diabetes, and heart disease. It all centers around this small yellow pill, and for me, it begins with a blood test.
It wouldn't be the first time I've given blood for this company.
They want to check my levels of something called T-bars, which is a rough indicator of a person's actual age. T-bars can identify a condition known as oxidative stress, a kind of measure of the wear and tear on our bodies. Oxidative stress, like the rusting of an engine, is not a good thing.
Bad for the body.
Leading to disease.
Leading to disease and leading to malfunction and, importantly, leading to what we call aging. It is a slow progression of increasing oxidative stress. That's the main characteristic biochemically of the aging process.
The problem of aging begins with the very food we eat to give us energy. As our cells burn that food, they also release toxic chemicals. Those chemicals, you may know them as free radicals, react with all the components of our cells, literally bombarding them millions of times per second, damaging all our cells. The result? Oxidative stress. And we all have it. The body fights back with a system of defenses. It makes two antioxidant enzymes, catalase and SOD, whose job is to gobble up the free radicals before they can harm our cells.
So, doctor, how often do I take these?
And so, here I go. With that swallow, I've just become part of a potentially landmark scientific experiment.
Doesn't taste bad.
It's called Protandim, and tests on both mice and humans have already shown that it revs up the manufacture of those good enzymes in our bodies. More enzymes, fewer free radicals to harm us. Whether that will lead to longer life is still unknown. Experiments to see if mice live longer are about to get underway, but it's a tantalizing theory.
Right now, all we know is that this preparation decreases oxidative stress. Oxidative stress is not a disease, just like aging is not in itself a disease, but it's something that accompanies and is attached to many disease processes. So you can see the age-related...
Normally, oxidative stress, measured by those T-bars, increases with age. But in Dr. McCord's tests, taking just one pill of Protandim a day reversed that trend for everyone at every age, even for an 80-year-old.
They all are reduced to the level of oxidative stress that one would expect, frankly, in a newborn or a very young child.
Back to the oxidative stress levels of a child? It sounds too good to be true. Will Protandim work on me?
The scientific evidence is there. The pieces seem to make sense. The question is, does this translate into something that humans can take advantage of?
And so, ancient Eastern healing and modern Western medicine may soon be working together. High oxidative stress is associated with more than aging. It's been linked to hundreds of illnesses.
It's at the very center of many diseases. Liver disease, diabetes, emphysema, asthma. I've studied all of these. Strokes, heart attacks.
Even mental disease.
Yes.
Depression?
Alzheimer's disease, depression.
Dr. James Crapo with the National Jewish Medical Center in Denver is also researching Protandim for the company.
Are you saying that this could be a cure-all?
You're looking at something that will have a small impact, but an important impact.
We make no claims about curing any disease or preventing any disease. We hope that when enough studies are done, perhaps such claims might be able to be made in the future.
Clinical studies to assess Protandim in both diabetes and heart disease should start in 3 to 4 months. But what about my progress? After nearly 2 weeks now, it's time to get my results. Dr. McCord calculates the numbers. The result? My level of oxidative stress has declined dramatically.
45%. That's excellent.
Just look at where I fall on the graph. Before and after.
Which, if extrapolated back, is the level you would see in a newborn baby.
Have we turned back the clock? Well, maybe not on the outside, but deep inside, within my cells. Yes, indeed.
Would you suggest I keep taking this supplement?
I would. I can't guarantee it's going to extend your life. I can't guarantee it's going to eliminate any diseases or cure any diseases.
But we do know that oxidative stress is part of those disease processes. And I don't want to wait until I'm 80 years old and find out that I should have taken it.
For more, go to our website at abcnews.com.
It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now.
Major universities and government agencies initiated and continue self-funded studies following the ABC Primetime Investigative Report you just viewed that originally aired in 2005. These studies continue to reveal more scientific evidence about Protandim's unique benefits. They are published in major scientific and medical journals. The next video will bring you up to date.
Developed after 40 years of research and exclusively for LifeVantage, Protandim is a true scientific breakthrough in anti-aging. Protandim has been reported on ABC, NBC, and PBS, featured in the Wall Street Journal, and described in CNN chief medical correspondent Dr. Sanjay Gupta's book, Chasing Life, The Quest for Immortality. Protandim's creator, Dr. Joe McCord, is a world-renowned scientist and a pioneer in free radical biology. Dr. McCord is the discoverer of the key anti-aging enzyme, superoxide dismutase. His role in the discovery is so significant, the enzyme is measured in McCord units. For Dr. McCord's discovery of superoxide dismutase and his contributions in free radical biology, he was awarded the Elliott Cresson Medal. This medal is awarded to distinguished inventors and scientists, putting Dr. McCord in the same company as Pierre and Marie Curie, Alexander Graham Bell, Orville Wright, and Henry Ford. Dr. Joe McCord has devoted his life's work to the study of free radicals, their role in aging, and the many problems associated with aging. Consumers spend billions every year on antioxidants in the form of food and supplements, hoping to reduce these free radicals. But antioxidants from these sources can only eliminate one free radical for every one antioxidant molecule you consume. Protandim is scientifically proven to slow cellular damage caused by free radicals. Taking one Protandim one time per day for 30 days turns on these anti-aging enzymes in your body. Your own enzymes eliminate free radicals at a rate of 1 million to 1.
I think any other supplements that are designed to be antioxidant supplements probably are no longer needed because Protandim solves that problem in a much more effective way.
Protandim is a breakthrough poised to revolutionize the anti-aging industry. It is an entirely new and scientifically validated way to fight aging, reducing your oxidative stress levels to that of a 20-year-old after just 30 days.
We found, as many other scientists had documented, that there is a progressive increase in T-bars in your blood the older you get. When these same people took Protandim for 30 days, the age-dependent increase in lipid peroxidation was completely eliminated. After Protandim, we could no longer distinguish the 80-year-old from the 20-year-old.
Protandim is protected by 3 U.S. patents. Universities around the world continue to initiate and fund their own studies of Protandim and to evaluate how this anti-aging breakthrough can prevent and improve many of the hundreds of problems associated with aging.
Many academic scientists at a number of universities have begun studying Protandim because it represents a new tool. It represents a way of reducing oxidative stress that wasn't available before. There simply was not a good way of doing what Protandim does. Protandim interacts with the DNA in your cells and causes the cells to make more of a set of genes called survival genes. The ingredients in Protandim were actually selected because they are largely metabolized by the liver, which does not interfere with most prescription drugs, which are generally metabolized by the kidneys. So the general answer to that is yes, it is safe. The immediate benefits of Protandim are within several days, the biochemical markers of oxidative stress begin to decrease. And while these are immediate improvements, you may not sense that these things are happening, just as you can't sense what your cholesterol level is, if it's high or low. But nonetheless, these benefits start happening within days of taking Protandim. The advantages to taking Protandim in the long term are that it protects your body from the relentless progression of free radical damage as we age. The anti-aging aspect of Protandim is one that accumulates over time, so the longer you take it, the more protection you will sustain. Missing a dose of Protandim is not a big problem. It takes about 2 weeks for the effects to go away. So if you miss it for 2 weeks, you're pretty much back to where you started from.
It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
Good afternoon. These are on, I presume. I'd like to talk to you today, and do I have control of these slides, or is I do? Okay. Let's get through these really quick, because this is just because you have to get CMEs, and I have to tell you that I am on the Speakers Bureau for GSK, GlaxoSmithKline, and also a nutritional consultant for an HIV nutritional company named Biosource Therapeutics, which has nothing to do with what I'm talking about today. What I'd like to talk to you about is something that I find thoroughly fascinating. It is glutathione. It is one of the four endogenous antioxidants, and it is one that I must admit, despite 80,000 published articles in the English literature, through medical school, internship, residency, fellowship, and a fairly long time in academic medicine, I knew nothing about. It is a very interesting molecule because it exists in an accelerated or increased energy state. The energy state is, or increased energy state, is caused by the fact that it's got a free sulfhydryl group and therefore can easily donate the hydrogen to an electron and therefore quench a free radical. Now, let me tell you, because I think it's important, and it is a little bit of a divergence, but I learned about glutathione because of something that you probably all have seen in your practice, and that is a low uric acid. Now, when I was in medical school and when I was a professor of oncology, the only thing I knew about uric acid is when you had a kid that you were going to treat for leukemia, you put him on allopurinol to keep the uric acid down. I knew nothing about uric acid being low, except it kept appearing, and it appeared in about 20% of my patients, and that just didn't make sense. So I finally went into PubMed, and after stumbling around for a long time, I found out that uric acid is the last antioxidant your body uses when it's run out of everything else. When it's run out of gas, okay, it uses uric acid. Interesting. So if that's the last, the question then, what was the first? And that is where I got into glutathione. I've been coming to some of these meetings for a while, and glutathione is very important for a number of things, not all of which I'm going to go into today. But in point of fact, it has a great deal to do with not only well-being, okay, but aging well, or if you will, retarding the aging process. So I think it's very applicable. I'd like to, at the risk of repeating things that you already know, go over some of the things that glutathione is important about. Alone in the antioxidant world, okay, every other antioxidant, when it becomes oxidized, becomes itself a free radical. Glutathione doesn't. It actually recycles other antioxidants. In fact, the body considers it so important that up to 6% of the entire ATP expenditure or energy expenditure of the body may be used to synthesize and optimize glutathione levels. That's pretty impressive, 6% of the entire energy output of the body. It is also the only non-enzyme antioxidant that doesn't become a free radical and in fact has a very interesting corollary when it becomes oxidized, because what happens is it complexes to another spent glutathione molecule, and the compound then becomes GSSG, and GSSG has been shown in animal studies at least to promote and induce delta wave sleep. We all know the importance of that in terms of the aging process, so this, even in its used-up form, functions as a very useful product. It not only functions as an antioxidant itself, but alone again in the world of antioxidants, it is an absolutely essential component of antioxidant enzymes, namely glutathione peroxidase, and most importantly, the glutathione transferases. And I bring that up because glutathione transferase abnormalities have now been associated with virtually every cancer known to man, and probably with a lot more than that. And therefore, by promoting the production of glutathione transferases through improving glutathione, we may be doing even more than I'm able to talk about right now. In addition, if that were not enough, let's keep going. It's a chelator. In fact, it's 50% as effective as oral chelation in getting rid of mercury. It has an effect on other heavy metals, but they're not as pronounced as mercury, and mercury is pretty ubiquitous in an environment, so it kind of comes as a freebie. And it detoxifies organic pollutants, perhaps the best known one of which is the two-carbon fragment that we know as alcohol. And in fact, without glutathione, you ultimately get a hangover because you stop the process at acetaldehyde, which is phase one detox, and that in itself is a free radical, and obviously many of us may have felt the effects of that if we didn't have enough glutathione. Now, why is it important in aging? Well, these are old data, and I think they're probably not as robust as they should be, but I'll give you what is available now. Glutathione levels decrease with age. The data would suggest it's 1% a year beginning in the 20s. I think that's too little, too late, but that's only my opinion right now. I haven't proved it. There are some very interesting things, though. Age-matched normals, okay, reveal that anybody at, say, 45 who's had his first heart attack or has asthma or whatever other disease you want to use has a lower glutathione level than somebody of that age who's well. So disease causes decrease in glutathione and an accelerated decrease compared to normals. Glutathione happens to be, and this is perhaps the take-home message, it's the major protector of mitochondrial DNA. Mitochondrial DNA is that DNA within the cells that's responsible, if you will, for the electron transport chain that produces every bit of energy in your body. And we know from pathologic data that if you take a biopsy from a 90-year-old and compare it to a biopsy in a 5-year-old, the mitochondrial DNA in the 90-year-old is only 5% normal compared to the 5-year-old. So obviously we destroy our mitochondrial DNA, we destroy our energy, and we age. Maintenance of normal mitochondrial DNA is directly correlated, and it's got an R value above 9.9, with aging. So the higher your glutathione, the less you age. And I think
it's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now.
true.